Now, over the summer, it's the first time, if you haven't heard me say this already, it's the first time we've ever met in August. Like I said, we've only been going for 2 years. And in the first year, we were too small, weedy, and insignificant to sustain ourselves over the summer when everyone's away on holiday and doing wonderful, shiny things. But today, second year, we've managed to pull off August, which I think is great. I think it's really good. It's a sign of how we've sort of grown and matured as a community. And over the last few weeks, we've been doing this thing, Close Encounters. In other words, we've been looking at accounts in the Bible about Jesus, that encounters with people that met with Jesus. And in all the cases that we've been through, we talked about the bad Samaritan, the woman at the well. We talked about the rich young ruler. We talked about the beloved enemy, the centurion, the Roman centurion. All these people, we don't know their names, and so that tells us not only about Jesus and who Jesus is and what he's like, but it tells us about us, because we could be any of them. And we're finishing off this series before we crack off into next term with our big celebrations and all of those things. We finish off with this last one, which is the miracle man. Now, really, if I could do anything with this series, it would be just to encourage you, read the Bibles, read the Gospels. Because if you read about Jesus, if you read who he is, what he does, how he changes people's lives, there's nothing like it. Reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the best that you could ever do. And what I've tried to do is just highlight a few little instances from these books, just to give you a little bit of an appetite for more. And what we're going to do tonight is really a little bit unusual. We're going to read a part of the Bible, but not just a little part. We're going to read a whole chapter. It's a big chapter, but it's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I've never done this before in church. I've never read the whole thing because it's a bit of a mouthful. It's going to take me 5 minutes, but I want you to listen to it, because not only is it one of the most exciting chapters in the Bible, but it's also one of the funniest, it's one of the most awkward, and it's one of the most easy to kind of picture in your mind. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. So I'm going to read this through, and I want you just to put yourself there, imagine yourself in the scenario. Picture it as it unfolds, but something more. And I'm going to tell you this, lean in, okay? Are you ready? If you're not quite engaged, lean in and listen to what I'm about to say. Because I'm about to tell you, I'm about to read one of my all-time favorite chapters of all time. And as I was preparing for this preach, I saw something I'd never seen before. Now, I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. I am now nearly 30 years old. And, okay, all right. But in all that time, please keep my secret, guys, that know. In all that time, I never seen this before. I never saw it. There's one verse, and I'm highlighting it in yellow, so you see if you can pick it out. But there's one thing that said that when I read it, it was almost like I'd never seen this before. It's like I'm seeing this for the first time. It took my breath away. And that is going to be our jumping off point for the whole of this evening. So here's the passage. It's going to take a long time, but we're going to get through it. Bless you. John chapter 9. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who'd formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man's not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then he turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, ask him, he's of age. Second time, they summoned the man who'd been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Can I get an amen? Very good. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God speaks to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of anyone opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I mean, that's just the best. That's just an awesome, awesome chapter of the Bible. And if you're here, you're not used to church, you need to know that the Bible is chock full of that kind of good stuff. It's really, really, really worth reading. Just download it on your phone, search up Bible, go to Bible.com, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they are transformative. But there's something in that passage, and we're going to go and sort of dig into it a little bit. But the thing that I had never seen before, I just want to lay it out for you, and I wonder whether you got that as well. I wonder whether it hit you like it hit me. Because basically, Jesus says this incredible word, and it's very typical of John. He says, I am the light of the world. This is one of his I am sayings. He's saying, I'm not just a good teacher. I'm not just someone with some nice ideas. I'm not just here peddling philosophy. Brand new religion. I am literally the light in a dark world where there's confusion and where there is doubt, where people are stumbling over themselves. They don't know what to live for, what to value, what not to value, how to do life, how to do relationships. They're stumbling around like blind men. In the darkness, I am the light of the world. It's in me, not what I say primarily, but who I am. Now that's not the verse. It's what comes before that. Because I'm used to Jesus. And we've been doing this whole thing about close encounters. It's about who Jesus is and how incredible he is and seeing him with fresh eyes and how he changes lives. And we're used to that. But it's what he says before he says, I am the light of the world, that absolutely takes my breath away. He says this, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. In other words, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and to his disciples, to his followers, we must do the work. We must do the work that glorifies God. We must do the work that changes the world. We must do the work that transforms history, that completely comes and brings new life into all of society and all of culture. I am the light of the world, but we get to do this together. That's why if you're a Christian here today, you need to know that you're caught up in the most exciting, wonderful adventure with Jesus. We don't just get to believe in Jesus. We don't just get to read about Jesus. We don't just get to applaud Jesus and worship him for the amazing things that he does. We do all those things. But we get to join in as Jesus walks down the street in slow motion with the soundtrack playing in the background. And Jesus says, we're doing this stuff. you're with me, you're on me. We're walking together and we're doing this together, and we are going to do God's works. Not just me, I'm the light of the world, but for whatever reason, Jesus has chosen to use us in this. I remember one of the most remarkable times that I experienced this. I was a teenager, and I was just kind of getting into my faith. I had a bit of a rocky time at different parts of my teens because I kind of felt like it was just so countercultural to be a Christian. You took a lot of stick. People would give you such a hard time, and I didn't want that grief. But I got to the point where I just couldn't say no to Jesus anymore, and I'm like, I'm all in. I want this. And I actually went from school and I did a gap year. I joined a kind of Christian group going around different parts of the country, sometimes overseas, and telling people about Jesus. We went to this one particular thing. It was like a big deal for Christians. Christians like to gather together. They do these big things. This thing was a big conference, thousands of people there. Spring Harvest, it was called. Still goes along. And I got there to be part of the team. I was a steward. I was helping show people to their seats. But the week before, I'd been in this area in the Midlands, and we'd gone to all these schools, and we'd told them about Jesus. And the kids say, well, prove it. And we say, okay, we'll pray. And we'd prayed, and we'd seen God literally heal people. And so they said, hey, Philip, come. Come onto the stage. Tell the story about that time that you prayed outside the school gates, and you saw some people get healed. I told them the story. I told them some stories about people with like sprained ankles and asthma and stuff that God was healing. It was amazing. After the service had finished, the worship finished, and people come for prayer, this one guy comes up to me. He says, will you pray for me? You prayed for people to be healed. Pray for me. I'm like, okay, what's your deal, man? He says, I'm deaf. He says, you can obviously hear me. You're not deaf. He says, yeah, I can hear in my right ear, but my left ear, total deaf. 24 years old. He was deaf from birth in his left ear. He says, listen, there's nothing wrong with my ear, but the nerves just never connected. And so I've never been able to hear through this ear. But something inside me has just got a rise of faith that Jesus can do something. Will you pray? I said, yeah, sure. This is like not a sprained ankle or an asthma where the person can say, yeah, I'm good. This is like a genuine deaf person. And so I said, okay, right. Reinforcement! I called some of my guys, the team, come over, let's all pray together. And we're all in this big huddle, Christians, they like to pray for people, they're putting hands on people, and they put their hands on this guy's head. We're praying for him, and we're all going, oh Lord, and we don't know what we're doing, we're just praying. But we do believe that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and we'll do this together. I'm the light of the world, and we can do God's works together. I'm the light of the world, but we're going to do this as a team. I'm inviting you to join with me. So we're saying, Jesus, light of the world, do this. Jesus, healer, do this. Jesus, the one that has the power, do this. And every now and again, I would go to his left ear, and I'd say, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And it's like, I don't hear. And I'm praying more. You know, it's now getting embarrassing. It's been like 10 minutes. And I remember my dad talking about times when he's prayed for people, they've been healed. He's prayed for deaf people, they've been healed. And so I did what my dad did. I just whispered into his ear, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And he looks at me like, I got nothing. You're whispering. It's annoying. And so we're praying. And then I have this voice in my head, and it feels like God's speaking to me. It feels like this is not just my thoughts. And the voice says, click your fingers. And I'm like, I'm not going to click my finger. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. That's kind of very flippant and inappropriate. And if this is God, you should very much think about what you just said. But it doesn't go away. And I just got this sense, click your fingers in his ear and he will hear. And I'm like, I'm sure this is not God. But why would Satan tell me to click my fingers? It didn't make any sense. And so I figured out, well, I will do it in a way that just, you know, covers my blushes if nothing happens. Like, I'm just using it for emphasis. And so I took my hands like this. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And as soon as I clicked my finger next to his left ear, his head spun around. He said, I heard that. I said, really? He said, yeah, do it again. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He said, I heard all the sound is coming pouring in. He was healed. He was deaf and now he heard. And because we were there for a week and we were sort of all on sites together, we got to see him over the next few days. He said, the next day, he said, I've been down by the sea. I've been walking. I've been hearing the seagulls. I've been hearing the wind whistling over the waves. I can hear. Jesus has done a miracle. He told the story, and it was just this amazing thing. More people got healed. And I realized that Jesus invites us, ordinary people, nothing special about me, nothing special about you. But Jesus says, we must do this. I'm going to draw you in. And there's three things. And I think that the man born blind, I like the fact that we don't get his name. Although when John writes his gospel, he talks about plenty of people's names. This guy, it's like, hey, he could be you. He's a model for you. He shows you what it's like, not just to be touched by Jesus or healed by Jesus. That's not really the main point. What he teaches us about is following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. Like the Pharisee said, you're his disciple. And the man says, well, I guess I am. And I want to talk about three things that we see in the life of this guy. Three steps. So if you are a Christian and you want to go forward in your faith, you need to pay attention to these steps. If you're not a believer, you're on the outside looking in. This is how you can take baby steps. But the first thing that he does, receive. You literally receive from Jesus. Now, this is the deal. Jesus says to this man, I'm going to heal you. I want you to wash. The fact of the matter is, the guy is just minding his own business. Nowhere in the passage does it say that he said to Jesus, Jesus, heal me. But Jesus just walking past, he's having a conversation with the disciples, and for no apparent reason, they start talking about this man. And Jesus just goes over, decides to heal him. But he doesn't do it like he's done it in the past. He doesn't do it by just speaking the word or putting his hands on his eyes. One guy, Jesus healed by spitting on his eyes. It's kind of gross. But in this case, Jesus does some stuff. He says, look, I tell you what, I've got a great idea. He gets some mud from the ground and spits in it. And he starts just mixing it up, making a mud pie, making a mud pie, making it sticky, making it mucky, making a mud pie. He's singing a little song to himself. And then he gets the mud and he puts it in the guy's eyes. The guy's like, what the heck? What's going on? And Jesus says, hey, listen, I want to mess with the Pharisees. This is just going to make them go ape. Because what's happening is it's the Sabbath. What can you not do on the Sabbath? Work. You can't work. They had all these different ways of making a rule to figure out what's work, what's not work. In their thing, making a mud pie, well, that's work. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to do this thing because it will just absolutely bake their noodles. I'm going to make some mud and I'm going to put it on the guy's eyes. And then I'm going to send him to the pool of Siloam, like only their most sacred pool where all their religious rituals take place, where all the kind of temple stuff happens, where the guy's got to go with mud on his eyes, finding his way through, making a bit of a scene and getting to this sacred holy pool, which you're only supposed to use for like sacred holy purposes, wash his eyes. And then of course people are going to ask him questions. But here's the thing, the man didn't ask Jesus to get into his life. But when Jesus said, look, I want you to do this, he didn't make any excuses. He didn't kick up a fuss. He just received it. He says, sure, I will do that. That's the difference between that man and the rich young ruler. When Jesus says, I want you to sell all your possessions. This is going to mess with you. Sell all your possessions. Give it to the poor. Follow me. The guy can't do it because he can't receive. Listen, you need to know whenever Jesus asks you to do something, it's because Jesus wants to give you something. If he asks you to do something, he wants to give you something. If he asks you, give everything away, sell your possessions, give to the poor, it's because he wants to give you something better. If he says, go to the pool and wash your eyes, it's because he wants to give you a miracle. And all you need to do is be obedient to him and receive what he has to give you. And that's all that we do. We don't necessarily know all the ins and outs. And if you were wondering about becoming a Christian, all you need to do is just see what Jesus says and receive it. Take a step and receive what he has for you. The second thing that he does, he believes. And I really love this because the fact of the matter is that this guy who's born blind, it doesn't say he believes in Jesus and then he gets healed. It says he meets Jesus and he has no idea who Jesus is. I mean, one of my favorite bits in that passage is when the Pharisees said, well, who made you see? Well, they called him Jesus. Well, where is he? And the man's like, you're joking, right? I mean, I was blind at the time. I didn't see where he went. I didn't see where he was. I don't know. So who do you think he is? I don't know. I figure he's like a prophet or something, or I don't know what. The guy knows so little about Jesus. He doesn't have all the answers. He doesn't have it all worked out in his brain. Doesn't have all the theology or the right answers. So if you are here and you don't have the right answers, if you're here and you don't have it all figured out, you can't dot all the I's and cross all the T's, then you're in prime position. Because Jesus says, I want you to receive from me. You just take it as a gift. You don't know everything. You haven't figured it all out. And as we walk along, then you can believe. And so Jesus meets the guy. And actually, when he receives this gift, it was costly for him. You know, all those shenanigans with the Pharisees. Basically, it's not just about religion. It's not just about what you believe. It's about your whole place in the society. Because what they would do is they would say, listen, if you follow Jesus, we will kick you out of the synagogue. What does that mean? It means you can't worship in the synagogue. Boo-hoo. Don't like the meetings, they're boring. No, it means that you're completely and utterly cut off from everybody. You are ostracized. You are now cast out of the community. People can't talk with you. They can't have you in their homes. You're a carpenter. They can't buy your stuff. You work. They can't have any dealings with you. You are now a social leper. You're a social outcast. Worst case scenario, you starve to death. You end up absolutely destitute. You lose everything. And when that happens to the man, when he's kicked out, and the Pharisees said, it's your fault. Like religious people, they always tell you it's your fault when something goes wrong. Yeah, it's bad karma. You did it. Your problem. You must have done something wrong. You must have done something wrong to have that depression. I mean, you must have done something wrong for that relationship to end. You must have done something wrong that your parents broke up. It's your fault. It's definitely your fault. You did something wrong. Jesus comes. He finds him. He says, do you believe? Why does he say, do you believe, when the guy's already been healed? It's because, like we looked at last time with the centurion, the word belief, when Jesus uses it, it means trust. Do you trust me? Do you trust and commit your life? Are you willing to trust? Even if people reject you, throw you out, cast you aside, ostracize you? My wife, she became a Christian, and it was like the man born blind. She was able to say, I used to be blind, but now I see, and I see so clearly. And just like the guy said, the people said to that guy, you sure it's you? You sure it's the same person? It's not just someone that looks like you? No, 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 literally, it's me. No, we don't believe it. It's crazy. With my wife, Kate, when she became a Christian, people around her, her friends, her family, most importantly, they said, are you the same person? Is this really you? They said to her, and they actually reiterated it to her. She met with her family last week, and they said, you're not the same person. We don't recognize you. In fact, at the time, they said, we think you've had a nervous breakdown. Something weird, or you've been brainwashed, or you're just not the same. You're not going for the same things. Are you sure you're the same person? Becoming a Christian can cost you everything. And Jesus says, do you trust me? Are you willing to lean on me? Are you willing to commit everything to me? Because honestly, to be a follower of Jesus, you might have it difficult. You might have opposition. You may have people saying, you shouldn't do this, or you're wrong, or you're evil, or you're not the same person, or I thought I knew you, and you just become someone and I don't recognize you. They can cut your opportunities at work. They can cut you out of their wills. They can shun you in polite society. They can kick you out of the synagogue. You say, you're not part of this group. You're not welcome in this friendship group. And Jesus says, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you commit yourself to me? And the man says, Jesus, I do. I trust you. Because I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was dead, but now I'm alive in you. And the Bible says, and this is remarkable, the Bible says he worshipped him. Do you know, sometimes I read the Bible and I want to laugh, and sometimes I read the Bible and I just want to weep. I just imagine this guy, and he's still got mud streaks in his eyes, and he's lost everything, and he's gained everything. And he's down on his knees and he's weeping muddy tears into the ground and he's worshiping Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus, you are the light of the world. And Jesus says, yes, I am. And we together are going to do works that glory God. You trust me. And then finally, pass it on. Receive, believe, pass it on. Again, this is what the woman at the well, the bad Samaritan, did. She passed on her experience to others. It was too good to keep to herself. She didn't just say, well, I have had a religious experience and it's a personal thing and it's a private thing. It's nice for me and I don't want to offend you. She said, no, seriously, literally, the whole world has changed. I have met a man. She does that thing we talked about, the investment, the ISA, that you invite, you share, and then you ask. You invite someone, you share some of your story, you ask them a question. So she goes out, she invites them, come see a man. Here's an invitation. It's not a big preach, it's not a theological debate, it's just an invitation, come see him. And then she shares some of her story. See a man who told me everything I ever did. And I'm talking everything. I mean, that guy knew stuff. It was scary. Not a big story, just a little story. And then she says, hey, could this be the Messiah? I don't know. What do you think? Asks a question. And when we invite people, hey, come and figure out this thing. I found it. It's made a difference for me. There's a story. Do you think this could be real? What do you think? Let me know what you think. And that's why we, as followers of Jesus, we're always, 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 we're going to pass it on. And that's why again and again and again, the man said, listen, I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. I am just a baby Christian. I'm just finding my feet here. All I know, I once was blind, now I see. All I know is that I used to have a pervading sense of kind of heaviness on me. But now since I have met Jesus, now since I'm meeting with his people, I feel different. That's all I know. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be something that's worth checking out? But we pass it on, we pass it on, we pass it on. And here at Metro, we will always, always, always do everything within our power and everything within our ability to pass on what God has done with us into other people's lives so that other people can see Jesus and meet Jesus because we want to do the works of him who sent us. And so that is the story of the guy. Ultimately, it's the story of the miracle man. Here's a question, and then we're going to pray. Who is the miracle man? Shout out. In this particular, it's Jesus. Very good. It's always Jesus. You're never going to go wrong if you shout out Jesus to a preacher's question. Okay? That's a little pro tip right there. Always Jesus. Well done. Very good points. In the context of this chapter, who's the miracle man? The blind man. Very good. But there's something more about it. With that one simple phrase that Jesus gives, we must do the work. We are the miracle man. We're the miracle woman. You get to be the miracle man. You get to be the miracle woman. In a sense, they're all the right answer because ultimately Jesus is the miracle worker. He's the one that does it. But for some wonderful reason, he invites us to participate, to join in, to celebrate. Jesus is walking, he's strutting down the street and he gathers the disciples and he says, hey, miracle man, miracle woman, let's do this together. And that ultimately is what we want to do for Bristol. We want to see people impacted with God's miracle power. We want to see the depressed given wholeness. We want to see literally the blind seeing. We want to see hope for the hopeless. We want to see the broken and the questioning, finding love and life and light in Jesus, the light of the world. We want it more and more and more, and we will not stop. And like I said, you've got to come back here next week because next week we're going to unveil some stuff that we have never done before. We're stepping things up a gear. What you've seen in the past is nothing compared with what's going to happen in the future because we are miracle people. We are followers of Jesus and we are going to see more and more of God's grace, God's kingdom, God's glory, God's light in our situation. You're going to see it in your workplace. You're going to see it in your family. You're going to see it with your flatmates. You're going to see it in your college. You're going to see it in your street. You're going to see it in your gym. You're going to see it in ways that you had never imagined possible. But we walk forward. All we do, We receive what Jesus has for us. Yeah, I know it comes with a cost, but he never asks you to do something unless he is willing to give you something. You can never be lost with Jesus. You can never give up more than he gives back to you. You just receive it. You do what he says. And we trust him. We believe him. We move forward believing him and trusting him. And we pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. Hey, I don't know. I haven't got all the answers. What about the dinosaurs? I don't know. What about evolution? Don't ask me. What about Richard Dawkins? I don't know. All I know is Jesus has touched my life. Check it out. Come and see. You could experience him too. We pass it on. So here's the big idea for this week. Jesus is the light of the world. To follow him and do the work of God with him, we need to receive, believe, and pass it on. Let's pray. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to open yourself up to God's Holy Spirit. And if you're here and there's something physically wrong with you, something that is specific, something that you can put your finger on, it may be that even in the last week you've had a bad diagnosis from your doctor and you walked into this place carrying that in your back pocket and it's weighing you down. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Because you're a miracle man, you're a miracle woman. And I'm going to pray that God would do something so powerful in you that it's undeniable, that you receive it, you believe him, and then you pass it on. But I'd like to pray for anybody right now who knows that they've got something physical that they need healing for. And then we're going to worship, and then we can have more prayer later on for different things. But if that's you, put your hand up so I can pray. Okay. What I'm going to ask for you to do, if you're up for this, don't worry if it's too much, you can do this privately. But I'm just going to ask that for those of you that have put your hands up, you've got something specific, you know what it is, I'm going to ask that you stand up right now. Just the rest of us, we can keep our eyes closed, we can keep praying. But those that raise their hands, stand up, and I'm just going to pray for the power of God to come upon you. If you want, you can touch the area where you're having issues. If it's a gut thing, if it's a joint thing. Just pray. We're going to pray right now. And I just want you to receive from Jesus. And actually, Jesus is here, and he's going to do some stuff. We're going to receive it, believe it, pass it on. And the rest of you, if you're a believer here, I want you to just extend a hand to the nearest person towards you. And just like I'm doing now, and extend a hand towards them, and we're praying for them. If you're not a believer, hey, what's the worst that can happen? Lord Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your healing power to touch every single individual right now in this place. Lord, you know the issues. You know sinus problems. You know mental health problems. You know allergies. You know issues with the gut. You know issues of weakness in our constitutions. Lord, I want to pray for that person that's actually just recently got a bad diagnosis. And I pray in the name of Jesus right now for the power of God to touch them. Lord Jesus, you said you are the light of the world. And we know that you're God and that you're a healer. And Spirit of the living God, we pray that you'd fall afresh upon individuals right now and bring your healing, bring your power, bring your touch. And in the name of Jesus, I proclaim the healing of Jesus Christ over you right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. May you know wholeness. May you know Jesus knitting things together right now. May you know a miracle. May you know that you've received from Jesus. And I want to pray, Lord God, generally for all of us, that we would know what it is increasingly to receive from you, to trust you, believe in you, and to pass it on to others, that we might see a revolution in our city. In the name of Jesus.